Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all today. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to read verse 27 through 32. The call of Levi. The subject of our text today is Levi gets the gospel. Little known fact, the disciple Levi is actually the one who invented the blue jean. So, I'm sorry. I could not resist. Sorry. Okay. That's not part of the sermon. We haven't read this text yet. So, cut. Okay, let's go ahead and read from verse 27. We'll read it all together after this. Let's read. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The very words of God. Amen? Amen. So, a few years ago, Nahomi and I bought a Bible in the language of Urdu. Urdu. It's the language spoken in Pakistan and Iran, a Persian language. And we wanted to give it to a friend of ours. So it turns out that that Bible was partly translated by a man named, I forgot now, Daniel David Martin, M-A-R-T-Y-N, David Martin. And he lived from 1781 to 1812, not a long life. And when he was a young man in England, he decided that he wanted to give his life to God and go to Persia to translate the Bible. He felt God was calling him out of England overseas, maybe never to return back to England. At that time, David Martin, was in love with a young woman. She was the love of his life. But he also knew that he had to go to Persia, overseas. So there were two things that were bothering him. One was he knew that it was wrong for him to take this woman away from her family, away from her home country, maybe, certainly, never to return back. It would be wrong for him to do that. She didn't have the call in her life. The second thing David Martin knew was she was an idol for him. She was competing with Jesus for Jesus' place in his heart. And he knew that he had to make a decision. And he was struggling for months. It wasn't an easy decision. It was months and months. Do I I love her. She loves me, and we should be together. God gave me, she's a gift. But at the same time, I know God is calling me out. There's a purpose for my life, and that is, you know, in Persia. And he's going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, he made the decision. He will never marry. And he followed the call of Christ out to Persia. He died at the age of 31, having translated the New Testament into three languages, also the Book of Psalms. So I want to present to you two doors right now. Imagine here are two doors in front of you. On this door, you cannot see what's on the other side, but on this door is everything that you want, everything you desire, your deepest hopes, your greatest ambitions, whatever possession, whatever relationship, whatever position that you want with all of your heart. It could be good things, success for your family, able to help others, a good name and a good place in society. All your hopes right at this door. On this door is Jesus and nothing else. Nothing else. You have a choice. Which is it? Ah, Pastor Chris, come on. Really? That's a false dichotomy. You know, Christians aren't really, that's not really how it works. You know, you don't have to choose between, it's not my words. Jesus himself said, look, if you don't leave your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, fields, property, the most important relationships, the most important things in your life, if you don't leave those for me, you are not worthy of me. Not my words, Jesus' words. When Jesus calls you to follow him, Jesus doesn't call you for a chutohampa relationship, a half-hearted follow. It's everything. Everything. There's no halves, there's no halvesies, there's little. I want you to consider, is there something that stands between you and Jesus? Some relationship, some ambition, some good thing that you feel, if I just had this, I could have everything. Jesus says, listen, you follow me, you walk through this door, I will give you 100 times worth more than what you've given up. That is his promise. And you may think, Pastor Chris, that's a difficult call. That's a hard thing to consider. No doubt. No doubt. Let me give you a bit of grace, okay? You have to fight. You have to claw. You have to go all out, 100%, to follow the call of Jesus Christ on your life. You may have to give up, not one, not two, but everything. And you may have to give up so many things it will break your heart. But listen, please. Listen, please. The minute you walk through the door to follow Jesus' call, here's what you understand. It is nothing. It is nothing. It is nothing compared to what Jesus gave up to be with you. Right? Jesus had it all. The glory, the power, the fame. He had heaven. He had intimacy with God the Father. But he came to be with you, and he gave up all of that. And so a lot of people think, you know, I'll think about Christianity. I'm coming to church. I'll listen to the sermon. I'll listen to the songs. I'll read the Bible. I'll see what Jesus has to say. What does Jesus have to say about, I don't know, sexuality? What does Jesus have to say about sex before? What does Jesus have to say about my possession? What is the church's doctrine on, Jesus is God, if Jesus created the world, if Jesus is the one who holds the universe together with the power of his word, his very pinky, it doesn't matter, okay? With all due respect, and listen, it's important what Jesus says about sexuality and money and society and philosophy and history and that those are important. But those are after the call. Those come after the decision to follow. Because really, the number one issue that you have to decide is whether or not Jesus is the Son of God. And if he is, that will settle a whole lot of issues and questions and doubts. Because that is what a real Christian is about. What is a real Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Okay? Does it mean I have the correct doctrine and I have the right principles and I go to the correct denomination and I believe God? I say I believe Jesus Christ? Is that what it is? No. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you follow Jesus Christ. You follow him. A few years ago, I went through a catechism with my sons. Do you know what catechism is? Familiar with catechism? Yeah, right? It's something for parents to teach their children about the truths of the Bible, about the basic doctrines of Christianity, right? So what happens is the parents go through a set of questions that the children memorize, and they answer. It's very simple, right? Right? Who made you?
God.
What else did God make?
God made all things.
Why did God make you and all things? All right. Kelly, do you remember? No. See, that was a few years ago. All right. So anyways, that was a few years ago. We got to question two. Good job. But this year, I started something with Kilhay. It's called the reverse catechism. The reverse catechism is, it's not me who asks my son the question. My son asks me the questions, and I answer them, right? And so we did our first two questions this week. The first question is, why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? And the answer is, because I follow Jesus. That's it. It's not because I go to this church and I believe that doctrine and I have all the perfect checks and boxes that are all, you know. No, I follow Jesus. That's why I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus as God, and I follow Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the first question. Now here's the second question, which comes to our scripture. Why do you follow Jesus? Question number two. Answer, I follow Jesus because he loved me and called me to be his disciple. Why are you a Christian? Because I follow Jesus. Why do you follow Jesus? Because he called me. This is what Matthew experienced. This is what Levi experienced. Levi, original name, Leviticusi, and it turns out, it's likely Jesus changed his name. Jesus had such an effect that he had to change his name to Matthew. And that's from the other parts of the scripture. Matthew means gift of God. So Matthew, he's called of God. See, this is how you know you're a real Christian. This is how you know the power of the gospel is at work in your life. I'm tying it together. A lot of people think, okay, I'll go to church, I'll study the Bible, I'll think about God things, and I'll start being religious, and maybe I might get baptized. Who knows? But the more and more you follow Jesus, the closer and closer you become to Christ. The more you understand the scriptures, here's what you begin to realize. And amen if you understand this. It's not you who are discovering God. It's not you who are searching for God. You find out more and more. God was coming for you. God was the one in charge. God was behind the scenes. God was orchestrating things. God was hunting you down. God was in control the whole time. Right? That is how you know you're a Christian. You begin to realize, yeah, I got this curiosity. Yes, this interesting happened. I happened to meet this person. I heard this message at just this time. And oh my God, it was you. It was you. You were coming for me. You were rescuing me. You left the 99 just to save this one. That is what happens when you are called. Matthew was a tax collector. He was just sitting at work, minding his own business. Was he looking for Jesus? Was he searching for religion? Was he trying to devote him? No. Jesus came to his place, and Jesus called to him. And then when Jesus called him, what is his response? He gets up. He leaves everything. He follows Jesus. That's how you know. One of the reasons, one of the ways you know. I forgot what time I started. Did anyone clock it? No? I know it's 30 minutes. That's the goal. No? Nobody? About a minute ago? All right, so I got another 25? All right. Okay. All right. I'm trying to stick to the, you know, New Year's resolution, at least through January, at least. Okay. So that's point number one. I only have 2 points today. All right. Point number one, when you follow Jesus, when you answer his call, all or nothing. All or nothing. And the reason you can do that is because you understand he gave everything. He gave everything. That's the only way you're going to be able to make the decision to answer his call. All right, point number two. Let's go into the text here. So Levi gets up, he leaves everything, and he follows Jesus. But then there's more. Part two of the story, verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. Amazing thing here. Levi, he follows Jesus, and then he throws a party. Now, here's the thing. He throws a banquet, right? Now, the Bible calls his banquet great. Now, I've been to many parties. I've been to a few banquets. They're pretty good. But when the Bible calls your banquet great, that's a great banquet. That's a banquet of biblical proportion, right? A great banquet. And who's there? Who is there? It says tax collectors and others. Who are those others? I just wonder. And then the people are called sinners by the other religious people.
Hollywood.
I've been to a few of those. I've been to a few Hollywood parties. I had a friend once. She worked in Hollywood. So this is Matthew's party, okay? And here's the thing about his party. It wasn't Hollywood types. See, Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were scum of the earth, but rich scum of the earth. Wealthy, because... Okay, all right, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So he betrays his country. He works for the government who is oppressing, who is invading, who's occupying. He works for Rome against his own people, taxing his own people. And in order for him to get a profit, he gets bribes. He shaves off the top. He's extorting money. Now, maybe some people don't want to pay him. Maybe some people say, you are scum. I don't need to pay you. Come and take the money. What do? You get some muscle. You get some thugs. You get some people who have some tattoos on their necks, maybe on their face. Maybe you get guys like Ivan or Mikhail or whatever, right? Some big guys. Who are those guys usually hanging out with? Other tough guys, and some of them have girlfriends. And what kind of girlfriend, what kind of a girl would hang out with a tough guy or a big, you know, not the girls that probably we know. Not my daughter. Not the nice girls. Not the ones who go to church. Not the ones who wear the long skirts and the long, no. It's probably those girls down in Nagarikawa with the short skirts, the low dress, the ones calling out to people, right? Those are probably those girls. Levi holds a great party with other tax collectors, with these types of people. These people, they're called sinners. They're the outsiders. They're the non-religious. They're the rejected ones, the social outcast. What does this have to do with you? It has everything to do with you. I'll show you how. The first part we read about last week, the story of the paralytic. Jesus is showing the power of his word. The gospel manifesting the power, its power through verbal command. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk home. I have the authority to say that as the Son of God. Not only that, your sins are forgiven. Go back one story earlier. Jesus shows the power of the gospel through physical contact. The leper comes and he says, Jesus, if you will, I want to be clean. And Jesus doesn't have to touch him, doesn't have to say anything, doesn't have to blink or click his heel, doesn't have to. He just says, be clean. But no. Jesus reaches out and touches a leper. The power of physical contact through the gospel, the power of verbal command through the gospel. What's happening in this story? The power of the gospel shown through social contact, relational proximity. Those Pharisees, those teachers of the law, who are they? Now, some of you, you're thinking, here we go, Pastor Chris, he's going to get on top of religious people, he's going to beat up the church people. He's going to knock down the Pharisees and all the religiosity. No, I'm not. They actually have a good point. Okay? These teachers of the law. Maybe if you're not familiar with the Bible, I want to give you something. The teachers of the law. What's the law? The law goes back to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book. People, I'm going to preach through Leviticus one of these days. It's going to be great. It will. I promise that. But it's going to take me some time. But Leviticus, if you go back to those, have you read those? Things that you cannot eat, things that only you can eat. What's the whole point of that? The whole point is this. There is God's space and there is humanity's space. There is divine space and there is secular space. God wants his people to go from humanity's place to his place. God wants his people to separate from secular space and come into divine space. In order to do that, I want to give you some things to separate yourselves with. There's some diets that you should have. That means there's some things you should not eat. And that means if there's some things you cannot eat, there is some people you cannot eat with. Because if you eat with the people who eat what you shouldn't eat, you're defiled. You're unclean. Stay with me. I'm coming right to you in just a second. The teachers of the law understood something that all of us know by common sense. The impure, if it comes in contact with the pure, the unclean defiles the clean. Are you with me? I have 6 kids. I know a few things about diapers. You don't change a diaper at the table. You definitely don't change a dirty diaper at a guest's table. Why? Because you don't want to be opening up that thing and people are trying to eat their food. Because, you know, through science, the little molecules that get everywhere, and Lord forbid if you end up touching that and then touching something on the table. Why? Because the dirty thing makes the clean thing dirty. Everybody knows this. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. God was saying, this is how it works sometimes in human space. You got to keep yourself clean. You got to keep yourself pure. That means you got to keep yourself away from certain people. Okay? That's the whole point of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It was not a bad point. And Jesus comes in and just smashes all it away. Just completely comes in with new wine and just completely throws it to bits. It makes it obsolete. It was good for a period of time, but that time was up when Jesus came. So what's the whole point of this? The whole point of this is this, okay? Jesus comes. Here's an unclean leper. And usually, you can't touch the leper. You can't come into contact. The leper will make you unclean, right? But Jesus says, no, I'm the doctor. I'm the doctor. I make people well. And see, a normal doctor, he has to be around the sick people, but he has to be careful not to get contaminated. Not Jesus. Because when Jesus comes, he can touch whoever he wants. They don't make him unclean. He makes them. Jesus is saying, I'm clean. I'm your cleanliness. I'm your purity. I am your holiness. And when I touch you, I make you clean. You don't make me unclean. I give all my holiness, all my righteousness, all my purity, all my goodness to you. That's the gospel. Amen? And the power of the gospel is shown through social contact. Through social contact. That means, see, he's eating with the sinners. He's drinking with the sinners. In that society, as in this culture as well, that just means, look, I accept you. I actually respect you. We break bread together. We have fellowship. Today, before the English service started, I just happened to be in the SmileCon. The Filipinos were having the Bible study. I was finishing up some prayer time, and I thought, I want to get in. And so Eric was teaching on Hebrews. Man, he fed my heart and my soul. When you hear the gospel, just other people talking it and speaking it, you get fed. So he fed my heart. And then we went downstairs, and they started opening up some Tupperware. We had some adobo, chicken adobo. We had some dinuguan. If you don't know what that is, Lord help you. It's like manna from heaven. It's better than that, really. It's so good. Actually, we have some leftover. You know, if you're adventurous, go ahead and try some. So we were just sitting at the table, and they were feeding but the thing is, it's table fellowship. It's eating and drinking together. It means I love you, I accept you, we respect each other, we're here together, we're in this together. And Jesus says, I'm holy. There's no one holier ever than me. And I'm here to have table fellowship, to break bread with you. And the beauty of it is this. I don't have to worry about you contaminating me. You can rejoice that by being in my presence, my holiness is coming on to you. That's the goodness and the power. So here's it. If you, the way you know the gospel is working in your life, the way that you understand that Jesus Christ's power is now beginning to work in you, here's the thing. You're comfortable with yourself. And because you're comfortable with yourself, other people are comfortable with you. Now, for those of you who already are comfortable and you're on top of the world and you got no problem having conversation, you could speak broken Japanese, broken English, broken Tagalog, but it's fine because you know who you are and people are just comfortable with you. Hey, I got nothing to say to you. Okay, I'm not here to speak to the comfortable. I'm here to call sinners to repentance. If you're someone who wakes up in the morning and says, I don't want to get up, I don't want to go to work, I don't want to face these people, I don't want to be in this environment, it's just too much, I just can't, because they don't treat me the way I think I should be treated, or they don't talk to me, or I can't relate to them, and there's a big wall between us, or if I try to say something and it comes out wrong, or they say something to me and I miss it, and it just all comes crumbling down. If that's you, I got good news. I got good news. I was watching on YouTube some interesting things. This week, I don't know if you know who Brad Pitt is. He's a movie star. Okay. Brad Pitt has been in movies for a long time. He never won awards. He never got recognized as a great actor. He's in a movie last year, and now he wins two awards, Screen Actors Guild Award and some Santa Barbara Award. And his speech is on YouTube. It actually ministered to me. And here's what happened. He's up there. He's talking. He's making jokes about himself. He's making fun of himself. Everybody's laughing. And he says, I've been at this a long time. And, you know, and he's just, people are laughing not at him so much as laughing with him. He's so comfortable with who he is after so many years of struggling, so much time in bad press, so many people laughing at him. He's like, yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm not perfect. And Jesus comes to us and says, I'm here for sinners. If that's you, I'm here for you. And if you can stop caring about what they think about you, but if you can understand and accept and receive my love for you, Jesus, you treasure me. You cared for me. You serve me. You intercede for me. You saved me. You came for me. Who cares what they think about me? I'm not perfect. I struggle. I hurt. I am offended, and I offend people at times. But you give me so much grace. You forgive me time and time again. You pour out mercy upon love, upon grace, upon me. And that satisfies me. And with that, I have industrial strength security. And I could talk to you. I could face them. They can laugh at my language. They can make fun of my mistakes. And so can I. Because Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came for look, if you're an outsider, if you're a weakling, if you're a nobody, if you're a failure, welcome. You'll fit right in. Fit right in. Right? And then there's some of us who think we're something special. Right? God chose me. I must be special. No, God is special. You're special in a different way. Okay? God says, I came for the lowly, the weak, the rejected, the nobodies. I came for those who are not, to shame those who are. God is special. And that's the power of the gospel. Would you follow him? Would you leave everything? If there is something between you and Jesus Christ, if there is a door that you need to walk through, and it happens to all of us, especially as followers of Christ, answer his call. Oh, I pray that if somebody is listening and they're wondering, do I go through this door or do I answer his call? Oh, leave everything behind, my friend. Leave it all behind. His promises to you is to give you more than you could ever ask or imagine, according to his abundant riches. But it's not until you let go will you be able to receive what Jesus has. Get up, leave everything, follow him. And number two, understand, he's here for you. He's here for the sinner, not the righteous, not the perfect, not the religious, not the one who has the perfect doctrine, the right catechism, all of that. He's just here for someone who's calling out to him. Call out to him. His promise is he'll answer you. Amen? Shall we pray? As you are in the quietness of your heart right now, well, I just want to ask you to reflect on where you stand in relation to Jesus Christ. Do you need him to call you? Do you need him to give you power to walk through the door? Do you need him to speak to you again and say, your sins are forgiven? Do you need him to say, my son, don't give up, keep going? Do you need him to say, I came for you, to call you towards repentance? Please hear his voice and answer his call. I pray, O God, have mercy on us, for we are sinners. But we thank you for repentance and the grace, Lord, to receive. Lord, we ask for strength. We ask for power. We ask for the gospel to be made manifest in and through us, even this very day. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's all rise as we sing our closing song together.
Darkest day.